Welcome to the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this is episode number 19, featuring Judy Yu, the volunteer manager for the That Takes the Cake Sugar Arts Show coming up in Austin, Texas at the end of February. Also, my roving correspondent, Shannon Orr, posed her five quick questions to Sydney Galpern at one of her recent classes. So whether you're gearing up for competition season, working hard at a volunteer gig, or traveling on your way to another great cake show, let's get this show started to entertain and inspire you. Joining me now from Austin, Texas is Judy Yu, a fabulous sugar artist who is also the volunteer manager for the big That Takes the Cake Sugar Art Show there in Austin, coming up in just over a month's time. Welcome, Judy.
Hey, Kim, how are you?
Stressed about Austin, how are you?
Yes, I am stressed myself because I have to do the countdown for the show, and just on Thursday was 45 days away, and so now we're, what, down to maybe close to 40, so everybody's getting a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I keep doing this thing where I forget how much more January there is, and I panic like it's like February is tomorrow. And then I realize, oh, I have two more weekends of January. I can do this. It's okay.
And then it's February.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it will be February, and I still won't have started. No, I'm going to start. That's part of why I'm going to do the one podcast episode that I'm editing right now for this week with Shanna and Sam, and then I'm going to do this one with you in February. I gave myself a bit of a break because I realized I can't do one every other week and still get my entry done.
Yeah, we got to have good stuff from you, too, at the show.
I have a plan. We'll see if I get it there one piece. I have a plan.
You can do it. And then we put you to work like crazy with the volunteer stuff.
That's pretty much the goal. I mean, that's the whole thing is, teaching the kid classes helps pay for my airfare so I can come and volunteer for the rest of the time, too.
Okay, that's good. Then I guess we can let you do that because we need you to volunteer, too. We need those old veterans to come in and teach these newbies what to do.
Well, you are the senior wrangler now of the volunteers. How much fun or not is that?
I'm wondering how much hair I'll have left when you come in February.
Yeah.
We'll have to see about that. But I do have more gray hair. But you know what? It's awesome. It's really, really fun. And you know, hats off to Ellen, who was running the whole show for I don't know how long. Love her a lot and miss her, but she was awesome at what she did. And I'm, you know, nervous to step into her shoes, but we'll give it a go.
You're going to rock it. You're amazing.
Thank you. It's because I have great volunteers.
Well, that helps. And I mean, like, before I gave up and burned out on politics and started doing cake, I used to try and manage, you know, herd the cats, right?
Right.
And you have, you know, there's always that magic of when you get the right person in the right place, then you can just sort of walk away and leave them to it. But then there's always that other person who means well, they really do. But it's really hard. And finding the niche that everyone fits to the best of their capabilities and the best of your needs, that's a real tightrope to walk.
Right. It gets really difficult. And we have so many different areas that's, you know, open to everybody. So, you know, being able to move people around, you know, give them lots of options, things to do, it's, you know, it's fun and it's interesting and it's nice when we finally found that little place where it's like, she's perfect for this. And then we can rope them in and have them volunteer there forever.
That's right. It's not at all like falling into a black hole that eats your entire life and that you have to come back even from a foreign country for. Not at all.
No. See, it's got to be pretty darn awesome if you're going to fly all the way over to come and volunteer.
Well, you know, honestly, I mean, part of it is I'm a volunteering kind of person. I'm the kind of person who goes, oh, that needs to be done. I will do it. Like, I mean, that's just my life in general. But with a show like Austin, I mean, with cake shows in general, or you know, things here I do too,
I enjoy feeling like I belong on that sort of inner circle level. I like the feeling of walking through that show and belonging in that extra way. Not that obviously all of our guests belong and all of our vendors and instructors. I mean, everyone belongs. But knowing that I'm contributing makes me feel good and important. Like, it's validating.
We love to validate you and make you feel big and important, and we like to use and abuse you too, but in a nice, sweet, sweet way. You know, we try to take care of our volunteers too, but you know, it is really great. We've got a lot of community just between the volunteers and everybody that's been coming around for years. And for whatever reason, we seem to hook people. I just got a, you know, message from somebody that comes from Louisiana. She used to live in Austin, and she and her daughter come from Louisiana the last 3 years to come and volunteer, and they were super, super excited. They go, when's the show? Did you send out emails? Are we coming? Do you need us? What do we do? They never volunteered before they lived here, but now that they're gone, they keep coming back every year.
Well, there you go. I mean, part of it is, I think Austin treats volunteers very well. I've volunteered in lots of different capacities and in all kinds of places. I mean, we should maybe list out some of the perks, but it's not just about the perks. I mean, lunch helps. You know, you don't get lunch in a lot of places that you volunteer, but just there's a respect and appreciation that's very healthy at Austin for volunteers. It doesn't mean people don't get annoyed at each other or, you know, that there aren't problems, because it's human beings, right? But I think everyone who's volunteered for Austin at least feels valued on some level, and that is really key.
Right, right. We want to make sure that you guys know, all our volunteers know that we appreciate what you guys are doing, that you could have done something else on this day, but, you know, we really enjoy having you with us, and we want to try and give you something. We wish we could give everybody that volunteers something, but, you know, luckily our volunteer numbers have grown. So I don't know how they did it way back when there were only, you know, when there were less than 100 volunteers. Last year, we had a record number of 180 people volunteer to work at the show.
Wow.
So, you know, it's awesome to have that group of people to be able to come out and help. And, you know, people have things come up, and so, you know, it falls off. But it's nice to have a backup where we can make sure that we cover different areas that need help. You know, we want to make the show the best we can. And being that it's 100% run by volunteers, it's insane what you guys have been doing all these years.
Well, I think the way it got done is just we were all broken. there was the year that I had pneumonia 1 year at the show.
Oh no!
I know, and I was crying at one. Speaking of Ellen, like I was on the Saturday night. I was trying to go home, and it was just I was having a disappointing, you know, in terms of the competition, and just things were going well, and I was sick. I mean, like, pneumonia sick, right? And I was trying to cross the floor to just go get my bag, and Ellen looked at me, and I turned away, but her mom radar went off, like, something's wrong. And so she came over and asked what's wrong, and you know, like, when you don't want to cry, but you're so tired, and your lip starts to betray you, like, to in that pout, and then it just sort of flow. This is when I'm like, and I'm so sad, and this isn't working, and the kids, because that was back when it was just kids table all day. I was like, oh, I've been run off my feet. And so that was that Saturday night. The next year after the Saturday night, this is when we used to still do a dinner. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you know, 11:30, 12 at night on the Saturday. And we got everyone out of the dinner hall, and we're all just sitting there going, oh, now we all have to drive home. And I said, hey guys, you know how tired we are now? This is nothing compared to how bad it was when I had pneumonia. Let's never allow anyone to volunteer with pneumonia again. So, like, we yes, literally please, had to pass we, rules like that.
Right. We need you to volunteer, but if you have pneumonia or what's going around right now, all over the place is the flu, please don't volunteer. Please stay home and rest and get better.
Yes.
You know, we love you, and we know you're going to miss the show, but yes, please keep the cooties at home.
Yeah, because I'm finally, like, just this week getting over, you know, England cooties, and I would like to come to that show and not be the vector that brings the American cooties back here.
Yeah. Okay, so if we're walking around with masks, no.
That's right.
Everything will be fine. We'll be fine. And, you know, it's just so much fun. I started, I think, in 2010, and you guys had me on the floor. They had me on the floor lining tape, blue tape on the floor around the tables.
The do not cross and, line.
You know, yes. And I thought this was punishment because I was new. And for whatever reason, I guess I enjoyed the tape lining so much, I came back the next year.
Well, I don't think it was punishment. It was probably you were just the next person in the line and Ellen needed to give someone that job because yeah, that we didn't have those kind of numbers back then.
Right. Yeah. There were a lot less volunteers and, you know, we've grown so much over the years, which is awesome. And we have so many cool things going on and, you know, the kids table has grown so much from when you started out doing it. So, you know, it's wonderful. All the things that we're able to do with volunteers only.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think a lot of people don't really realize. They assume the people at the top must get paid, and poor Kyla never gets paid. Jennifer doesn't get paid.
No, we don't see any of that. We're lucky to get fed. We want to make sure everybody gets fed, so we do feed. We don't have volunteers passing out or anything. We have good snacks all day long, and try to take care of our volunteers. Make sure they're able to run around, you know, lots of yummy cookies and whatnot. But yeah, we're not changing any money back there. We're not paying anybody.
Nope.
And everybody keeps coming back because they enjoy it. I think, you know, it's great just to be able to, once you see the show, and if you go back and see how it was put together, I think it's even more rewarding.
Oh, it is.
To see, you know, getting everything together and knowing that, you know, Kimberly, you had that part and making the kids table what it is today and you know all of it's so wonderful and everybody's enjoying everything. It's been really cool to just be able to go in the back and see how it's all comes together.
There's exhaustion at the end, but there's a sense of a job well done because it is a good show. It's an amazing show.
Yeah, it's totally awesome. And like I said, people keep coming back from wherever they are, wherever they're coming from. They keep coming back, whether they're close by or across the pond, right?
Right. Well, and we should tell people who are considering volunteers, there isn't pay, but there are perks aside from lunch. Well, I mean, it depends on how many hours you do. And I know we've changed it over the years, but do you want to list out some of the things that people can get at the various hour levels? It's almost like a PBS pledge drive, isn't
it? Yeah. So we start out with 4 hours. So if you can volunteer, just, you know, you don't have to stay all day and you can volunteer just for 4 hours. We still want to take care of you and we give you admission to the entire weekend of the show. So you can come both days to see. You can volunteer before the show because there's tons of stuff to do even before the show starts. 4 hours is our minimum. And we give everybody that volunteers admission to the whole weekend of the show. We also give everybody that volunteers for at least 4 hours a raffle ticket for every hour that you volunteer. Now, the raffle tickets, man, those raffle prizes are incredible. Usually we have 50 to 60 packages of prizes that are over at least $100 each, and they are incredible. I mean, stand mixers, which I'd never win. Even though I put 40 tickets in there, I still can't win. And lots of great stuff that every decorator will want. And, you know, I love to go and put raffle prizes together. And I try to put something in my purse, but some of those things are really big.
You need a big purse for a KitchenAid.
A really, really big purse. And, you know, during our summer event, we did the Day of Sharing, they kept me away from this cupcake bag because I kept, you know, they're like, no, dude, don't, you can't put that in your car. I'm like, but I'll make sure it gets back. But I won that one. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, you could come and do that. Don't try to walk away with anything, but you know, so everybody gets a raffle ticket to put into these fabulous prizes. And then we have t-shirts for the staff. So if you work 4 hours, you can get the t-shirts at cost. So we're not going to try and take any extra money from you, but you can get them at cost and they're really cool. They say staff on the back. They have all our vendors listed on it. Got our cool logo, you know, which is made by great people every year. And so we, you know, we try and take care of you that way. We get, you know, snacks and lunch and lots of food.
There's the ongoing perk of, if you come back year after year and we know who you are and we know you really care and you really put in a lot of effort, you're more likely to get picked to say to be the volunteer in a class.
Oh, yes. I completely forgot about that. And, you know, everybody loves to sit on the class. Now, the volunteers cannot take the class, but just being able to sit in on a class and watch what they're doing, you learn so much, so much. And, you know, things that you never thought, oh, my gosh, that's it. That's the only thing I needed to get it to do this. It's awesome. So when it's such a, it's a privilege to be able to actually sit in on one of the classes. You're right. That's a great behind the scenes perk that you get.
Right. And again, like that's because I know I've seen this on the forums. People think that they can fill in the form for the first year and say, well, I only want to volunteer for these three celebrity classes. No, 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 people, that's not how this works. You, after you come back, after you've put the blue tape on the floor or stayed to clean up, people, we need clean up, people, because like that's everyone kind of disappears to the wind in the last, you know, 5 minutes of the show. So, you know, when we've had the people who we see year after year coming back and really putting that effort and that reliability, and that's who we say, hey, you know what? Amazing Cake Celebrity here needs someone to basically be the paper towel girl in their class. You know, you get to hang out. I mean, you do have to help. You may have to leave the room to go get the paper towels or whatever, but you do, you get that secret. You get to hang out with a celebrity that you worship. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. And I know that's one of the perks that my friends from Louisiana love to see is, you know, totally starstruck, like, oh my gosh, yes, I saw, yeah. And, you know, they're totally hilarious. And you get to take, you know, pictures with them and meet all these people that you've seen on TV. And so, you know, all your dreams are coming true, you know, in cake fashion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this is how I got to hang out in a Mike McGarry class for the first time.
Exactly.
That's how that happened, people. It's, I've shown on my blog that I often have these old Mike McGarry stands because he's not teaching that class at the moment at Austin, but when he used to come and teach his structures class, well, he would come with a suitcase full of parts. And then he would assemble it with screws and hot glue. He's not putting that back in his suitcase. And so because I'd volunteered so much for so long, and then I got to be the volunteer in Mike McGarry's class, he's like, here, take this home and make something with it. So literally, even in England, sitting right now up on that shelf are the pieces of a Mike McGarry dog. Like, not the cake, just the boards. And I've used them, you know, covered, and then been able to, like, reuse the wood. That is, like, a weird perk that we certainly can't guarantee anyone's ever going to get. But maybe you go to another class of someone who, you know, you've always wanted to learn how to make a flower, and you get to see how they make it. You're not doing the hands-on, but given the cost of the classes.
Watch that. The instruction is awesome. It helps more than you could, you know, even imagine. And I got a perk, and I got instruction booklet from one of the instructors I was monitoring the class for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're often very generous to the volunteers. In fact, we've had some vendors be incredibly randomly generous to volunteers. There was a year I was standing there talking to Megan from Innovative Sugar Works, and she realized she had more to pack than she wanted to. And she said, well, I have these magnets and a couple of, they're big carry boxes for cakes. They're insulated carry boxes. She says, do you want them? And I said, well, I can't take them to England. Let's walk over to the volunteer desk.
And that was awesome. We did get some wonderful, we get wonderful things from our vendors who, they also appreciate our volunteers a lot too. So we've gotten great things that we're adding to something that did come up new last year. We started doing volunteer raffles just for our volunteers. And so we've added some of these gifts from our vendors to these raffles so that you guys can get some perks. We got a request to do some things that, you know, every decorator might need, piping bags that we go through like 100 of them all the time, and boards and dusts and such. But we had great, you know, donations from our vendors for some of their products, so, because they love our volunteers just as much as we do. And so they love to reward you guys with great gifts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Austin has a reputation for taking care of its vendors. Here at the British shows, because sometimes I see the same people, right? Like friends. I'm about to say something that they've said privately, so I don't want to name who. But, you know, specific people that I've known in both places, and I'll go see them at a British show. They look very tired or something. I'll say, well, has anyone brought you food or a drink? And they give me a funny look, and they're like, this isn't Austin. because in Austin, we feed the vendors. And you know, I personally have been walking through the hall, seen a vendor looking a little harried and said, you can't leave your booth because you're doing such good business. I'll tell you what the food is. Let me bring you food. And I've done that. Last year, I brought a plate of food to someone at their vendor booth. It was Ruth Rickey's booth. And so I brought Ruth some food and I brought Lisa Fitch some food because they couldn't leave the booth. And so, like, that wasn't even my job. That was just me. I was walking through the hall and we could see that. I knew we had the infrastructure to do that. I knew that I could go into the volunteer lunch, say, I'm getting this for these vendors, and that no one was going to have a fuss with it or anything like that. I can't even do that for someone at a British show. There isn't even the infrastructure to feed them.
Right. You know, we have our wonderful little hospitality area that we hide away from the public, but we do that so that we can take care of our vendors and we can take care of our volunteers that are working so hard to make sure that the show is running smoothly. So that's a good point that we do. You know, you're a veteran and so you know how to take care of everybody, but we do really try to take care of everybody that attends the show, and not only the community, but everybody that's working there.
And it gets around. I mean, because I've heard we get the feedback where people, I mean, not just to me, like in that instance, but, you know, we hear that so-and-so has said at another show, well, this is a fun show, but, you know, they don't take care of us like they do in Austin. So, and we're really proud of that. I mean, that's been a long time in the making, making sure that everyone feels taken care of.
Yes, we definitely try to do that. And that's why, you know, it's always good to have lots of volunteers that can help us out.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know, but every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right, because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
So we really appreciate everyone that steps up. And I really think, you know, once you get in there, you're going to enjoy it. And you may start out with 4 hours this year, and next year you might go to our next level of volunteering to 12 hours, which we add, you know, all the perks that you get with volunteering for 4 hours. So, admission to the whole show for just 4 hours of volunteering, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll give you up to 30 raffle tickets, you know, for what you work. But if you work 12 hours or more, we're going to just throw in an extra 10 tickets.
Excellent. And there's the free t-shirt.
Yes, we added a free t-shirt a couple years ago because, you know, the show's doing really well. So we wanted to show our love to our volunteers, and those who volunteer for 12 hours or more gets a free t-shirt along with it. So we're glad we could do that. And then we also have these little micro classes that are just short classes that some of the vendors might pick up and show, you know, demo a product or do a very simple project for a lower price. And we'll allow some of our volunteers to step up into that and participate in the micro classes if there's some availability, of course, when you're not on duty.
Yes. And as you mentioned before, but I think we should mention it again, especially because we are several weeks out, all the hours don't have to be there. I mean, it's that kind of a joke now when people like me fill in your form for how many hours we're going to volunteer. It's like, well, hang on. how many did I do this week? You know, because
I usually put 100.
Like, I just put 20 because I'm like, there'll probably be 20 that week, right? Because, like, but yeah, in the past, it's just been, particularly when I still lived in town and before we got Robin as a baby, and so I had more of the time, there's so much you can do in advance. There's packing raffles. I mean, on my end, even here from England, I'm doing a lot of web stuff when Kyla needs help. I've written PR. Is there a PR person or is it still me? Like, I don't know if there's someone else doing that. But
you Kyla are the unofficial PR people for like the entire life of the show, I believe. We would love to have somebody with PR experience jump in and help with that area, but it seems to be one of the shortcomings of the volunteer area. We are trying to really get, you know, more volunteers involved with leading the committees. That is filling out really well this year. We've, you know, as you were talking about, found their little niche and are trying to plug them in and see how they do this year, so that every committee head, because we break down the show into these little committees so that it's a little bit more, you know, it's easier for people to help out so that one person isn't doing everything. And so we're trying to get each committee head at least one or two assistants, so that if there is an emergency, there's somebody to back them up, and that we have not just one person trying to take care of a whole section of the show, but a team of people that are overseeing that particular part of the show so that it runs smoothly.
Yes, that's a good idea, because I know we've had team heads before who've then had like a family crisis the week before of the show. And if all the institutional knowledge is with that person, and that could be an amazing and wonderful and reliable person, but if they suddenly have to up and leave in a crisis like that, it's really hard for them to then remember the 10 things that were in their head that they were going to do. All the balls in the air they were juggling basically just fall down through no one's fault.
Right, right. So we're really trying to you know, get people into positions that can be long going, you know, and, you know, unfortunately people get a little tired, maybe need a little break. And, you know, we want to make sure that we've got somebody there, because we want to keep the show quality to what it's, you know, been famous for. And we like to make sure that we take care of everybody, no matter how much you work, how much, you know, or little you work, we want to take care of everybody, including our committee heads.
Mm-hmm. And we should say that whatever your abilities, there's something for you. We have sit-down jobs. We have run-around jobs. We have getting sticky with the kids jobs. We have you don't need to be anywhere near sticky jobs. We have, like, whatever, because people will feel like, well, what can I contribute? What can I do? I promise everyone listening, there's something you can do. I know there's a minimum age requirement. Is it 12? Probably?
I think
we put in 12 because we'd had some kids as young as 8.
Younger.
Yeah, we used to have because someone would volunteer with their kids, and that, or like there was one year someone wanted to bring their brownies to, or the Girl Scouts or whatever, to do it. And the problem there wasn't a lack of heart. It was just when you suddenly get eight-year-olds trying to volunteer, that becomes more work to manage than it is help. Again, not because they didn't care. It's just that's hard. So I think we put in, I think it was 12. But we have had some kid volunteers who've been amazing. I mean, in the kids area, Fernando, Monica's son Fernando, was just, I still, if they ask me to write stuff for his resume, because now he's got to be in his 20s by now, but they ask me to write stuff occasionally for, you know, a letter of recommendation. Like, I cannot do it eagerly enough. Here was someone who, even as a minor, I had no problem saying, can you take this money bag up to the treasurer? I trusted him. When I had to go, I had to run and get something, or like, I think it was getting more fondant or something for the kids' table. I came back. He cleaned the whole thing, not even been asked. Fernando is like one of those legendary volunteers where you're just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And he was, I think, 14 when he started doing that.
Right. Our volunteers range from, you know, from the young ones to older ones. And of course, you can do anything. Just, we have a section in our volunteer registration that you can put in details. I need to sit down. You know, I don't like to be in one place. Can you give me something where I can move around? So you're right. And then the kids, you know, we do have a minimum age requirement. And unfortunately, off the top of my head, I don't recall exactly what it is. The information is on our website where, you know, if they're under a particular age, that they need to be accompanied by the adult. So if you do have a child that's, let's say, 10 years old, we require that you stay with your child and not leave them for the committee head or other volunteer to stay with them. But we'll schedule the parent and the child together and work. And it's been great, because I think we had a father and son manning the front doors last year.
Awesome.
So, Yeah, so that's a great thing. And I had a mother and daughter helping out with the volunteer area, and they reorganized the table. I'm like, okay, I'm keeping that idea for next year. It was an awesome idea. You know, work move much more smoothly. So we appreciate input, and you know, we can make it a family activity too.
Absolutely. I mean, well, in the junior classes this year, we've got Sam Plante. Like I said, I'm editing the episode right now that he's going to be on, and we're talking about how he's 12. Right. So
he's awesome.
He's like a massive, amazing prodigy in cake. I'm going to stay in the room with his classes, not because he's not capable, but just because of his young age for legal reasons. We can't leave a 12-year-old in charge of a bunch of like 6-year-olds because if anything goes wrong, we'll be so sued. Oh, my God. So I'm staying in the room throughout his classes. You know, we always have a volunteer helper for those classes anyway, someone who can. There's always the kid who needs help or someone right. needs to be walked to the bathroom or whatever. But, you know, I'm basically in there as an extra helper as that committee head for the legal reasons. But yeah, we get really good at knowing who some of these amazing kids are. And, you know, and then we are happy to do things like sign a form that they did this to earn a badge for Girl Scouts. Sorry. International right now. I'm Canadian, lived in the States, live in the UK, so it's Girl Guide Scout Brownie thing, whatever. Boy Scout, whatever it is. If you've got a thing, or if they're doing like a community service thing, you know, that's the kind of thing we can work with, and we know how hard some of these kids work, and we help back in return.
Right. We're happy to do that, and like you said, we've got wonderful kids that, you know, we have people, our committee heads will request, you know, I want so-and-so in with my group.
Oh, yeah, we'll fight over them.
In, you know, Decoration Station, which is the kids' area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they know how to run the machines that we have for spin art cookies. And they are fantastic. And we love to have the kids get involved. And like I said, we're out there to serve the community and make it a family affair also.
Mm-hmm. And committee heads will fight over the good volunteers. That is a thing.
Yes, we don't get in the way of good volunteers. Don't mess with Irene and her volunteers.
Oh, no. I don't mess with Irene. I love you, Irene.
We do love you, Irene.
I do.
You're awesome.
Yes,
we don't take your volunteers.
No. No, we don't. She has all the pens, guys, and the scissors. But yeah, we've got so many areas. If you're good at heavy lifting, I mean, I'm not allowed to lift over a certain amount of weight, so I appreciate it when someone moves a heavy box for me.
We definitely need lots of heavy lifters, especially on Friday. Mm-hmm. Friday is the day before the show actually starts, and that's when we're setting up everything. And you know this is going to be crazy, but we set up the entire show that everybody sees on Saturday and Sunday. We set it up in one day.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much. I mean, what does it start around 6 or 7 in the morning? We get the trucks in.
Yeah.
There's at least two trucks of
stuff.
We don't
make everybody come at 6 or 7 in the morning.
No.
We have our special crew from out of town come in, and Randy and his buddy Jeff will get in the truck and they'll tear it all apart while we wait for our tables and our pipe and drape to get set up. And then we'll start bringing the volunteers. And then it'll go crazy after about 10 o'clock where we're trying to get everything ready because we have vendors coming in. We have competitors coming in. And come on, Kim, you know how bad it is on Friday night when we're getting registration all set up.
Oh, yeah, because I used to be head of registration. There were years I was head of kids table and head of registration and secretary. And yeah, that's kind of exhausting, actually.
Nice now that we don't have to make everybody have multiple personalities and run everything. Not that you didn't do a good job when you were, you know, head of more than one area, but it's so much nicer for you to enjoy the show and to do what you want to do when we have so many volunteers. And you know, I can't say, I think last year we had a really good group of volunteers and we were able to get a lot of things done. And we couldn't do all of these things without all the volunteers that we've been getting and, you know, just great people and lots of fun. And we'd love to see everybody come back, you know, from last year. And then we'd love to get more. I told Kim that she had to get us 20 more volunteers so we can reach 200.
So how many do we have signed up right now? Or do you even have access to the numbers at the moment? You probably don't because you're...
Well, I just opened the volunteer site last Thursday, 45 days before the show. And as of like noon this today, in Austin time, I had 30 volunteers already in just a few days. So that's good. We've still got plenty of time for people to sign up. And so, you know, I'm hopeful, and I had several emails. Okay, when is it? Where am I going? What am I doing? You know, let me get signed up. And so I know I've got my Louisiana crew coming. So there's three more right there. And well, Kimberly's already signed up, so she's good.
I signed up as soon as I saw the email. I was very good.
Good for you. I might holler at the veterans like, why aren't you signed up yet? Or I won't even bother to call you or anything. I'll just sign you up myself.
That's right. Well, part of it, I'm better at it now, because before we had that app, when Ellen used to run the stuff on paper, one of the ones who was very guiltily bad about forgetting to sign in and sign out, kind of because I was there before someone had the binder, right? Like, I would just get there, I knew what I had to do, and I would do it. But everyone should know that if by signing in, you guys are going to give them a schedule so they know, so then they can buy a class aside from that. Or they can do that, because it's not going to be a thing where someone says, hey, I'll volunteer, and then you show up and no one knows what to do with you. This is a very scheduled out, computerized, modern, efficient system.
Yes, my life for the next 40-ish days will be dedicated to figuring out how to get 180 volunteers in their spot so that they can do the work that we need to get done and make sure that we're covering every area.
Oh, so what is the deadline? I mean, obviously, if people show up and are helpful on the day, that's great. But what is your preferred deadline for them to sign up on the website?
You know, we'd love to have everybody signed up on the website at least a couple of weeks before. And, you know, those of you that are interested in, you know, trying to get like a prime position, well, not really a prime position, because I might take the first few volunteers and we always need people for registration. So that's where everybody's going.
Right.
You know, if you're a veteran registration person, you know, we've already gotten our San Antonio crew, Cindy and her gang are coming in and ready for registration. We love those guys because they do a fantastic job getting all the competitors in. But yeah, if you could get you guys to sign in a couple weeks before the show, that way we can get everybody planned out. But we certainly take people that walk in and go, I want to volunteer. We love you too, and we will find a place for you. You know, for those people that had some kind of emergency come up or unfortunately have the flu or pneumonia, you know, we love to have somebody that can step in and go to a different spot. That's always really helpful. And, you know, we will still reward you everything that we promise. And, you know, and speaking of breakdown, we talked about breakdown being such a tough thing. We have 3 hours to break down the show on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need as many people as we can get. So we try to reward you there too. And we give everybody 2 raffle tickets for every hour that you work those last 3 hours of the show when we're breaking everything down. So we do try to pay you back for, you know, sticking around and helping us clean up after the show. And breakdown goes really fast. It may sound like it's been a tough part. And we are a little tired and maybe a little grumpy. but... you know, we want to take care of you still, so we'll give you an extra raffle ticket to throw into the pot before we hand out those prizes.
And honestly, I noticed this past year, it went super fast. It got to a point, Genevieve and I were walking around looking for power bars, and then we were racing to get them before the other one would get them. because, thankfully, for the first time, honestly, forever, enough people did stick around that it turned into a bunch of us milling around at the end going, okay, what can we do? What can we do? Like, what? Oh, look, a task. 5 people run to the task. Because people were sticking around, which was so nice. Thank you, everyone, who did that. Because I can tell you, it became a bit of a running joke in years past. The very first show I did was 2009. I had volunteered, and I did whatever I was supposed to do, right? And then in the meeting afterwards, Ellen stood up and said how upset she was because of everyone who'd signed up to do breakdown, none of them had showed.
Oh, no.
And she had to do, like, so much of it by herself. And she was very justifiably upset. And I, right then and there, made a promise to myself in my own head, although also to Ellen, that I would never again leave that show until she was out. And in fact, then it became a running joke that I would be the last one out. To the point that a couple years later, the Grex, the airbrush company, they needed their pallet of stuff picked up by FedEx, and it was scheduled for like 8 o'clock. Well, we're all supposed to be out of there like before 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I was like, I mean, this is, again, before I had another baby. So like I could do that. I could call my husband and go, I'm going to be late. And I just sat there on like the one remaining chair in the entire North Austin Event Center. I sat there beside this pallet until FedEx came and got it because I was the last one to leave. And then I missed the show, obviously, the first year I came out here. And then when I came back, the cleanup had been improving. It was doing pretty well. And there was everyone was sort of going out, you know, Jennifer and Kyla and the Make It Sweet people were sort of going ahead. I kind of hung back for a second and waited for them to cross out of the garage that pulled down a door at the back of the Round Rock Center. And I was like, I'm the last still here. I'm still true. I'm still the last. And then I walked out. But this past year, I actually wasn't the last because some of us had scheduled a dinner that right. we frankly wanted to go to. And I was milling around. And like I said, we were all kind of fighting each other for the last tasks. Or there were some tasks that no volunteer could do.
Right.
Like it had to be a senior staff person.
People had to do it, but
yeah. And
it's so awesome.
Yeah. So then that was the first year in years that I gave myself permission to not be the last to leave because I started to feel like people were really doing that and taking that on. And thank you to everyone who does stick around because it really makes a difference.
Yeah. I mean, 3 hours to get all of that torn down and, mm-hmm. and ready to go. It's a lot of work and we really need as many people as we can in that last moment, you know, and it's not a punishment and you know, we can even be silly and make it a game and come on. I think everybody's favorite part is, okay, can we throw the cakes yet? Can we throw the
cakes yet? Yes, that's right. And bagging the tablecloths. Bagging all the tablecloths, guys. We got all those tablecloths, you see? They're ours. We've got to collect them all because we don't own the tables, but we own the tablecloths. Well, and it used to be some of them were ours and some of them weren't, and then you had to sort them.
Yeah, no, that's too confusing.
That's part of why we stopped that. but they all have to go be laundered. So, you know, the tablecloths got to come off the tables, and anyone who leaves a cake after a certain amount of time, you got to, which is the other thing. If you're a competitor and a volunteer doing breakdown, awesome. Pick up your cake right away and move it over to the Capital Confectioner's booth.
Otherwise, you'll have volunteers just staring down your cake waiting to toss it.
That's right. Or if it's got something good on it.
They're waiting to steal it. No, I'm kidding. Well,
no.
Maybe.
Well, no, because okay. I know, like, there was one year where someone had a cake full of, like, square dummies. And she said, I don't want this. If anyone wants, like, you know, $30 worth of dummies, take it. And a volunteer is like, I'll take it. And they were all like, good. Or the show cakes last year. There were people milling around just waiting for permission to take the show cakes or pieces of the show cakes. The ones that were down in the class, not the competitive show cakes, the main ones up by the entrance.
Right. So
yeah, I mean, if you are a competitor and you have your piece, pack that away and then go to help clean up.
We don't want to throw out your cake. But,
no,
you know.
We want you to take it with because believe me, the dumpsters are full.
This is Shannon with The Evidence Podcast. I'm here with Sydney, with Simi Cates, and we are going to go over my 5 random questions. My first question for you is, why yellow?
Yellow is my favorite color. It always, like, I love yellow. It's so bright and happy.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you prefer coffee or tea?
Tea.
Morning or night person?
Night, for sure.
How did you get started with ISMO?
I'd always loved it. I used to watch, like, the specials that they would have on TV, like on Unwrapped and, you know, all the old shows. I loved those growing up. So as soon as I got into cake decorating, it was just immediately I knew I wanted to try it.
How old were you when you got into cake decorating?
Officially, I was 12 when I started, when I took my first classes, but I was always really into baking, and I did baking competitions through my local fair and stuff when I was growing up younger than that, so...
Your parents have always been super supportive of all
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Or were they already in it, or did they just
no,
follow you along?
Not at all. They didn't even cook or anything like that. So I kind of got them into it, but they've been really supportive and they love doing it now too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah,
I love seeing them at all the shows. I'm like, I know them.
Okay, well, I think that was 5 questions, right? Is there anything extra you want to add? Anything new coming out that you want
to... I mean, you can go to my website, teamcakes.com. We have all of our new stuff listed and all my classes. I have a YouTube channel you can check out, too, so lots of different videos and different products on there, too.
Okay, thank you, Sydney. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
5 random questions. All right, have a good day.
But it's always fun in the end. I guess maybe that's our little release after the long week. And, you know, we've got stuff all week.
At least, yeah. I mean, well, like we're just saying, you and I are doing it now. Kyla's doing it. I mean,
we're working now. Oh, it's going to be crazy. We're going to do our raffle packing, and we'll be baking for the bake sale and getting registration all put together. And so we've got lots of things to do even before the show starts. So we can always use volunteers. If you can't work during the show, you can certainly sign up and say, I need to do something before the show. So, you know, we're doing something every day that week of the show.
Yep. Anyone want to write the press releases this year? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? All right, I'll do that.
I think if you heard the crickets, that's what you're going to get.
Right. Well, when I left, I just assumed someone else would do it. And so at some point I was like, wait, has there been a press release? And they're like, no, will you do it? I'm like, yeah, because I can do that from here. But yeah, we have digital stuff that needs doing. We do a lot of website stuff. We do a lot of, you know, I just did a newsletter for Kyla because obviously she's super busy.
Right.
And, you know, we do social media stuff. I mean, I'm typically doing Twitter and Facebook for us. We don't really do any Instagram-y type stuff. If someone wants to come on and do some Instagram-y type stuff, let us know.
Yeah, we need some more social media people. I mean, we got a great upgrade on our website this year for the show. Mike and Kyla worked
so hard.
Time and effort putting in a great new website. So, you know, we want everybody to come out, check out the website, and then, you know, scroll down and hit volunteer to also volunteer to participate in the show. But, you know, we've even had somebody who was just vacationing at the time go, you know, I'm really into cakes. Is there something I can do?
Yes.
And I think she came and put gingerbread houses together.
There you go.
Just for a couple hours. And she was from out of town. So, you know, any way you can help, we love to have you.
Yep. Sign up now, people. Is there a link on the website? I'm going to link in the show notes.
Yes, there is a link on the website. So thattakesthecake.org. And if you scroll down, it says volunteer. And you can just click on that and it will throw you into our special volunteer website. And it'll talk about all of the perks and all of the schedule. So everything we need to know about you will be there. Yes, we love you. We love our volunteers, and we look forward to having 20 more so we can reach a new record of 200.
There you go. So everyone who can hear my voice, volunteer now, even if you don't live near Austin. Wait.
Sure, that'll work.
Well, we are getting people from, like you said, from New Orleans, well, it's from Louisiana, and I'm coming from here, and I know Shannon's coming down from... We keep calling her Queen of Texoma, so, you know. But yeah, so if you are in the Central Texas area, if you can get to the Central Texas area, come on out, lend a hand. If you're coming to the show anyway, you know, if you can throw 4 hours into one of the days, it makes such a big difference. You'll feel like you belong. You get good stuff. You get a meal. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
We will love you.
We always do, and we've kept Kimberly all this time.
I'm Kyla's loyal minion. I can't leave. She knows where I live. She's been to this house. But aside from all that, you do your own cake stuff too.
I do a little bit of stuff.
Because I was looking at your, I mean, I see them come up anyway, but your cake, you're kind of doing cakes and cookies.
I'm doing cakes and cookies, and it's Jennifer's fault that my cookie business has kind of increased a lot, so... awesome classes that make it sweet, but I also teach, and I think I love the teaching more. My brother likes to tease me that students are better decorators than I am.
Oh, well, that just means you're a good teacher.
So I like being a good teacher as opposed to being a good decorator.
You're not alone in that. There are a lot of people who shut down their actual bakeries to go do teaching full time.
It's fun. And I actually had a mother and daughter student participate last year, and they took first place in each of their categories.
Oh, that's awesome. So what kind of classes are you teaching? Just, you know, basic cookie decorating, or what are you teaching?
Well, right now I'm teaching the Wilton cake decorating classes.
Mm-hmm.
And request for me to make up some new ones. So we started with some cookie classes, just basic cookie decorating, and gotten a request to do a class. So I'm going to try and expand a little bit.
Very cool. But you're basing it mostly in Austin, right?
Yes, mostly in Austin. And I am taking a break during the month of February so that I can completely dedicate all my time to the cake show.
Yay! Yeah, no, I mean, I've been telling people for years, nobody gets me for anything in Austin. No PTA. It's good my kids don't have birthdays in February because you just...
Right.
Yeah, February's off. I mean, my friends here are starting to learn, oh, let's just not even ask Kim to do anything in February. She'll just say no.
Right.
Any other exciting news on your own decorating front?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure to some extent, because like you do other things other than volunteer manage, but it, like this time of year, it kind of clouds our brain, doesn't it? Just Austin show.
Right. It's all about the show.
Right.
If anybody asks me about decorating, it's like, you want to decorate at the show? Sure.
That's right. Wait,
I'll volunteer.
That's right.
That's the only thing I know. You want to volunteer.
You need to make like a cake or a set of cookies that just says like the URL of the volunteer site.
Exactly.
What about, have you ever entered the competition?
Okay, no. And in my defense, Jennifer actually spoke for me and said we keep her so busy that she doesn't have time to compete.
Yes, I understand.
She saved me.
Because it's legit to not want to. I'm on a mission to make people who are scared to compete feel less scared.
Yes, I'm scared.
Okay. You don't have to be scared. It's okay. The judges are nice. Our Austin judges are nice.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome.
Not that I'm trying to talk you into competing this year because, frankly, that's probably a little late.
Yes.
Yes. But
okay, I should try and do it at least once.
At least once. Because as I was just saying, I mean, we just had someone asking on our Facebook page about an article they're doing and wanting us to give some quotes about the creative side of the show. And I was saying, and I've said many times on this podcast, Austin is a great entry-level show to get your first, you know, competition feet wet because we have that stratified beginner, intermediate, advanced, and I guess, well, now it's been condensed, masters and professional are in one.
Yes.
Which makes sense because it was kind of spread out and it was a weird amorphous sort of definition for those two. So I totally agree with whoever decided to do that. Although it does scare me because it means that there are people like Sarah Weber who are going to now be in the same category as me faster. It's not about winning.
You should be scared.
I should be scared. Are you kidding? Of course I'm scared.
You guys are both awesome decorators, so...
And it's not about winning.
No.
Except it is. No, but it's not.
It's fun. And, you know, we have lots of volunteers that do compete, mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, I'm a little nuts and picked up probably one of the most difficult committees to work on, but... you know, we do have a lot of people that do compete and do volunteer. So, you know, we can use you no matter what you're doing.
We can be accommodating in terms of like if you're going to be there all day Friday and you have to bring your piece and set it somewhere. We have in the past like found a table off to the side where you can safely. I mean, if it's a massive piece, that's going to be harder. But I mean, I've brought my entry and my, you know, Peo's entry, for instance, on the Friday morning and then set them up in the registration Friday night.
Right. And we love you guys that do compete and volunteer and bring your pieces on Friday because you can be our registration guinea pig.
That's right. In fact, that was me for the longest time as I would train the volunteers on registration and then I'd go get my piece and go, right, look at me, a completely ignorant person who's just walked up with my cake and didn't leave it in my car as instructed.
So. Awesome. And, you know, it works out really well because then you get to set your piece up, one of the first ones, and you don't have to deal with all of the traffic of all the competitors coming in. So it's got its perks to mm-hmm. volunteer on Friday night and you know, have your competition piece with you so that you can get settled before anybody else comes.
Mm-hmm. And we, because so many of us have done both, we are very, you know, understanding and accommodating because we want competitors and we want volunteers. So, yes. You know, we try to sort of balance those things, and we understand that you as a competitor are busy for this section of time, that you need to set that up. We get that. So no one's going to be all down your throat that you have to be a certain place. I mean, don't sign up for something where you have to be there during all registration time. But we've even, like, because I was volunteering for running registration and setting up, I set up my piece 10 minutes early because I gave myself permission to do that. So
no, and it works out. I think it works out great for you. If you're going to work registration and have a competition piece.
So definitely whatever you're doing. I mean, it really, at that point, it's just the time to make the piece, which you have a full-time job too. So, I mean, I didn't have a full-time job. That was a little bit easier for me to do from that perspective.
Yes, I do work full-time. And then most evenings, except for like I said, about this time of year, it's like, okay, I'm limiting the number of classes I'm doing. And otherwise I would be teaching probably every night. And I actually have a good group of students on the weekends now taking a class. So, you know, I'm a little bit everywhere and have a couple of cookie orders coming up. So I got my hands in a lot of pies there, but I try to, you know, dedicate a lot of time and effort into the volunteers because I want to make the experience for our new volunteers and old volunteers as great as possible.
Well, and you do. It shows. I mean, you care and it shows.
I try. Just don't ask me that on Teardown.
No. No. Everyone's allowed to be a little gripey at Teardown. That's okay. I think that's my new rule. I've decided as alum board. I'm banging my gavel here. I've decided all reasonable crabbiness during Teardown shall be ignored later.
Yes. That sounds good.
We all make up on Monday. If you need a pep talk, like, say, December next year for competing, I will give you a pep talk.
Okay, you're going to have to post that. You had a great post one day that I just loved, one of your little cake formations. I still look at that picture of him.
Oh, was it one of the Hugh Jackman ones?
Yes.
There have been a few of those. Sometimes I'm encouraging myself, folks.
Yeah. So, there's a plug to a really nice guy.
Yes. Because, well, in particular, because he does charity work and all this. And also, but we have to be clear with the Hugh Jackman thing, though. He's not actually human. Like, there's too much charisma, kindness, and amazing, you know, singing and dancing for one human. Pretty sure he's an alien.
Yeah. But you know, we'd love to have his human alien-ness at our show, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
He can volunteer.
Yeah. We'll get so much done. I would die.
Yeah, I would really be starstruck too. And yeah, he can't. Well, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if Hugh Jackman walked into the show, it'd just grind to a halt, and we'd all just stand there going, "Hi."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's over now.
We should have him present the awards, and then everyone will sign up for the competition. You get to shake hands with Hugh Jackman at the end. It's like, oh my God, we'll have like 1,400 entries.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll beat Cake International finally. Oh my goodness. Okay, we're clearly hitting the point where it's 1 o'clock in the morning here. We're having our Hugh Jackman cake formation fantasies. So I should probably let you go unless there was anything else you wanted to add.
Well, it's not 1 o'clock in the morning over here.
No.
But we're on the verge of a terrible ice storm for Austin. Could just be like, you know, a few snowflakes, but we want wonderful volunteers and we hope to have a lot of wonderful volunteers to help us put on another great show this year. So, you know, everybody brave the storm and stay safe, and hopefully we'll see you in about 40 days at our cake show.
Yes. And remember the motto of the show: don't die, we don't have time.
You are hilarious.
I'm punch drunk. But
and at 1 o'clock in the morning, I get it. So.
Yeah, but I will be seeing
a totally different place.
That's right. I will be on a 10-hour flight to you guys very soon. I've already paid for my flight. It's been great having you on, and I can't wait to see you guys. It's going to be a blast.
Yay! I can't wait, and I'm ready to use and abuse you in the very sweetest kind of way.
And in the sweetest way. It's very nice. All right. Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to seeing you and many, many more volunteers in a few weeks.
Cool. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
Not at all like falling into a black hole that eats your entire life and that you have to come back even from a foreign country for.